to hear can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the sir, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, this is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Look in my eyes.
Yeah, Friday, what's up? Late Hits. ESPN 97.5, Patrick Creighton with you. We have two more hours of fun here on a Friday night. Jose Partida on the other side of the glass on a 1s, 2s, and 3s, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. Astros looking for 9 in a row tonight in Kansas City. Charlie Morton taking the bump tonight against Jacob Yunus. Morton hasn't been as good as he was earlier in the season. But overall on the season, still 7-1, 2.82 ERA, 96 Ks and 76 and two-thirds innings. Looking for a bounce back here after his last start. And, you know, there's a few guys in the KC lineup who can hit. You know, Moustakas can still hit, get a lot of power. Perez has some power, although he's not hitting for much average at all. Gordon's kind of fell off this year. You know, there's a couple of guys who can hit. There's some other guys who pretty much can't. You know, Dozier's hitting 239. Escobar's hitting 216. You know, their DH tonight is hitting 159. Almonte in center is hitting 194. So there's a lot of outs in that lineup. So you're looking for a bounce-back start from Charlie Morton, come out pitch strong as the Astros look to get their ninth straight victory in Kansas City. Astros lineup tonight, Springer, Breggs, Altuve, Correa, Reddick, Gattis, Marwin, McCann, and Tony Kemp manning left field. Springer's always going to bat leadoff. It's always going to bother me that he bats leadoff to an extent because he's the best power hitter on the team. And, like, to me, that guy should be batting third or fourth. He should be getting as many RBI opportunities as he can get. But he likes to hit in the leadoff spot, so that's where he's going to stay. Breggs is well-suited to be the two-hitter, so as long as those two guys are going to be one and two, Tony Kemp's going to bat nine. And it's almost like, you know, when you get through the order, it's like that second leadoff hitter. You know, Kemp is more the traditional, you know, leadoff hitter where he doesn't hit for much power, but he hits a high average. He gets on base. He steals base. He's already got three steals. He's only got 73 at-bats. To give you an example, you know, Bregman's got 256 at-bats, and he's got six stolen bases. So Kemp's been running a little bit. You know, Altuve is the only guy in double digits. He's got 10. But Astros here, who are now 45-25, 20 games over 500 for the first time this season. The Royals are 10-23 at home. I mean, that is beyond brutal. How were you 13 games under in your own building? But it's all right. They'll take it. You know, like I said, this is the easy stretch of the Astros schedule here where right through the All-Star break, their opponents have a combined winning percentage of 422. And like I said, the Mariners had 10 games in a row, four at home against the Sox, then three in the Bronx against the Yanks, three in Fenway against the Sox again. They got 10 games against, you know, two of the three best teams in baseball. You know, they're 2-4 against the Astros. The Mariners have beat up on bad teams, and they're winning one-run games against a lot of bad teams. But now they got to go through a little gauntlet here against the top of the AL East, and this should be a spot where, You know, now that they'll have to have played some good teams, like the Astros have played good teams, this should be the spot where the Astros get a little separation between they and the Mariners. And if you consider the fact that, you know, the Astros, you know, including last night, it's 29 games to the break. And all of these are bad teams, and they started it with 8 straight wins. So starting tonight, it's 29 games against AL bottom feeders. It would not be a surprise if the Astros wind up going, what, 24-5? You could legitimately have that kind of a run with this stretch of games against all the bad teams they're going to play. I mean, anything less than, would you say anything less than 21 wins here would be a disappointment? 21-8 to me should be like minimum line. They're playing awful teams. And when I say that, I don't say they're like, oh, like this is what they have to do or they're failures. This is what I expect them to do because they're that much better than everybody they're going to play. The Astros should be getting nice and fat here before the break. And you know what? They're going to need a little bit of that. You know, Joe Smith still hasn't started throwing yet. Now, he said today that his elbow was feeling better, but he hasn't started throwing yet. Goodwin went on the paternity leave list, so he's going to miss this series. Tyler White's been called up. And I know that there's people from last year. I know that there's people who were all down on Tyler White, but Tyler White's hitting .338 at Fresno with 13 homers and 45 ribs. He's not going to be staying in AAA for long. Now, whether he's traded, whether somebody gets hurt and he winds up being an injury replacement, or whether he forces his way into the lineup some other way. If he's going to hit like that, his bat needs to be in the lineup. Guys get hot, guys get cold. If he's going to hit .340 with power, got to get him in the lineup. Now, he's not in the lineup tonight, which is fine, but it'd be interesting to see if, you know, these three games here against KC, if they're going to get him some at-bats, and whether or not Goodwin is going to come back onto the main roster, whether they're going to dump him back down to Fresno afterwards. Like, to me, you didn't need to replace Joe Smith. You already had 8 guys in the pen, so now you have 7 guys in the pen without him. 7 guys, that's a normal pen. So, I mean, I'd rather they have the extra bat. Now, once Smith is healthy, he's obviously they're going to go back to the 13 guys in the pitching staff. But I'd keep him up. I'd keep the extra bat up for as long as I could. So, as of right now, the Astros are a half a game up in the division. They are one up in the win column. And you look at their run differential. To me, run differential is a very important stat to me. That tells you what kind of baseball you're playing. The Astros' run differential is plus 142. The next closest team is the Red Sox, who are plus 104. And they are the only other team in baseball that's plus 100 runs. So when you look at what the Astros' record is now, they're 20 games over. Score, and now the offense is starting to kick in. Now they're starting to hit homers. Guys' averages are starting to go up. This is, like I said, this is the part of the season where they get fat. That run differential is going to expand quite a bit. And, they actually have a shot here to be 35, maybe 40 games over 500 going into the All-Star break. That's a hell of a season. Like I said, I predicted 103 wins this year, but said, you know, I thought I was shooting it low. This stretch here is going to go a long way to determining just how many games over 100 wins this team goes, and it could be a pretty decent, crooked number. You know, it's the summer of LeBron, but Kawhi Leonard is trying to hijack that for today. Next.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so how do you hijack the stories about LeBron James? Because, boy, does the national media want LeBron James to go to L.A. It's almost like you'd think that there's some kind of bonus for some of these guys with all the, oh, LeBron is definitely going to go to L.A. I mean, you think it's a foregone conclusion looking at some of these stories. And then you get the ridiculous stories where, you know, everybody's going to L.A. Like, the whole world is just going to the Lakers. And guys that have to be traded, well, other teams, they're just going to, you know, bend over and grab their ankles and let the Lakers have whatever they want because they're the Lakers. And that type of stuff drives me crazy. I am not, like, when the reporting becomes, well, we're not really reporting anything. What we're doing is we're creating these fantasy situations where, let's say, Team A takes 20 cents on the dollar for their superstar player and just hands them to the Lakers because they should want the Lakers to do well. Like, they shouldn't want their own team to do well. Just let the Lakers do well. Somebody should just take Luol Deng off their hands because, well, the Lakers need to get rid of him. So, you know, can a scrubby team make bad decisions so they stay a scrubby team and help out the Lakers? Because the Lakers have to be good. The whole concept is asinine. Yet it pops up everywhere. Nothing but, this is how the Lakers can get everybody. Well, now Kawhi Leonard is leaked to the media that he wants to trade out of San Antonio. And this is, A, it's kind of like the worst leak job ever because we've all kind of known Kawhi wants out of San Antonio and that he wanted to go to L.A. We've all kind of known this for months. If that wasn't confirmed by the players' meeting, where his team begged him to try to get on the court, and Kawhi looked all his teammates in the eye and went, "Nah, I'm good. I'm not getting on the court. I'm good. Thanks. Okay, bye." At that moment, you knew he was never going back in that locker room. At least in his mind, he wasn't. You don't K-bye your teammates and then be like, "Oh, yeah, you know, I'm back. Changed my mind. I really do like you guys. Sorry, I was just a jerk last year." That's pretty tough to come back from. That doesn't mean they wouldn't try. But he'd have a lot of explaining to do to the other guys in that locker room about, you know, how do you justify the fact that you pretty much abandoned us? It also makes the idea that he wasn't really hurt, because you remember he was cleared by Spurs doctors with several months to go in the season. He wasn't really hurt. He was just saying he was hurt because he didn't want to play in San Antonio. And it goes against everything that we know about Kawhi. Fierce two-way player, ultimate competitor. And here he is, you know, what I think is sitting out because he didn't want to play in San Antonio. He wants to force his way out. And if he sits out played 9 games, basically sat out the whole year, starts a bunch of beef, pretends to be hurt. You know, I mean, look, it's a mug. We're going to say, oh, if the guy says he's in pain, you know, every test might show, well, there's nothing wrong with you, but he says he's in pain. you know, what are you supposed to do? And they called him out. They're like, look, you got to play with a little pain, you know, if that's what it is. Everybody says you're cleared. You're fine. You know, why are you being such a baby? Why aren't you out here working with your teammates? Why aren't you out here committed to the cause? Well, because he wants out. He didn't get the sneaker deal he wanted. He's probably looking at the roster and going, there's a lot of old guys on this roster. I want to be a superstar. I want to... All the things that he wants. Probably looking to go, I'm not going to get it in San Antonio because they got to redo that roster with some younger guys. So he leaked to the media he wanted out before he officially told the team he wanted out, and then goes on to say how he felt betrayed by the team. Because going to the media before you tell the team, that's high quality. That is some high quality BS right there. And we know Kawhi wants to go back to L.A. Now, he prefers to go to the Lakers, but he wants to go to L.A. Well, Clippers play in L.A. too, so if they give you a better deal. But I would not expect, number one, I would not expect that the Spurs are just going to hand Kawhi Leonard to the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, Pop wasn't born yesterday. Not going to say, oh, yeah, well, give me your headache and Lonzo Ball because he's got a crazy daddy. And, like, Kyle Kuzma's okay. Oh, and, yeah, we'll take Luol Deng's awful contract off your hands just because we're feeling generous. No, why would he do that? That's stupid. Pop is not making a dumbass trade to do a favor to the Lakers. I am so tired of seeing these stories of, oh, Luol Deng, Lonzo Ball, and Kyle Kuzma. What? That's it? You think the Spurs are selling them 15 cents on the dollar to the Lakers? Because, you know, just old buddy, old pal, old chum? And these are the stories that are out there. That there's no way in hell that's anywhere near realistic. Spurs certainly don't want Deng's contract. And they certainly don't want Lonzo Ball with his daddy issues. Now, I find LeVar Ball to be like comic relief. I don't take him seriously. I never have. I find him to be, he's a guy, he's entertaining. He says a lot of crazy stuff. You just laugh at him. Popovich is not going to put up with that crap. Pop is way old school. He is not dealing with that. Lonzo Ball is not going to the Spurs. So Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, you throw Hart in there. You throw in some draft picks. You know, you got to work on that money, but there's no way the Spurs are taking Deng in that awful contract. So good luck. And I don't understand this. Oh, well, they could just move Luol Deng. Oh, they could just move Luol Deng. If they could just move Luol Deng, he'd have been moved already. Nobody wants a 33-year-old guy who can't shoot. Not to mention the fact that, I mean, did Deng play 12 minutes last year? The Lakers told him, look, we're playing all our kids. We're not playing you. You're not in our plans. You're just going to sit on the bench. Nobody wanted him. Deng is to the Lakers as Ryan Anderson is to the Rockets, except Ryan Anderson has like some use because when you're on the road, Ryan Anderson sometimes can hit threes. Deng can't shoot threes at all. But, yeah, some team is just going to take them off the Lakers' hands because, well, you know, the Lakers need to get rid of that salary. And, you know, everything's got to be about the Lakers. Make Lakers great again. No. Sorry. I don't care what Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. Look, those two guys are probably the most realistic of the bunch because they're the ones saying that it's going to take a couple of years to get the roster where they want it to be. You know, it's the media who have these ideas of how, Magic and Pelinka and the cap space, and they're going to get LeBron and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and, we just did the national show, and Brian Barrett said he saw one that has them also getting Damian Lillard. Just stop. We're just shoveling it into a giant can at this point. Lakers are just going to get everyone because everybody loves the Lakers. Wrong. In the league, not everybody loves the Lakers. That's just how it is. Popovich is not giving people freebies on his star player because, the media wants the Lakers to be good. That's nice. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Where do you think people are going to be? LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George. Where do you think they wind up? Get into it next.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so where do you see Kawhi Leonard winding up? Where do you see LeBron winding up? Where do you see Paul George winding up? Because every story that I see that shows LeBron and Paul George and Kawhi all going to the Lakers, dude, just get me a shovel. How big do the waiters have to be? Because that's deep. If you think Pop is handing Kawhi to the Lakers, you probably belong in a padded room. It's not happening. Pop is not doing favors for the LA Lakers. All right, the Sacramento Kings are not taking Luol Deng off the Lakers' hands just for S&Gs so that they could try to put another super team in their division. You might know the Kings also hate the Lakers. So all this stuff about, the Lakers. Who's working with the Lakers? Who is giving them, the friendly deal? And I don't care how much leverage you think that the Spurs do or don't have. Because at the end of the day, Kawhi is under contract. And they have the leverage to send him wherever the hell they want. All right, if they really wanted to be humps, they could send him to the Knicks for a package of crap. Just as a way to stick it to him for another year. May not get much, but so what? I mean, if you're not going to get much, then send them to the freaking depths of the NBA and let them be on a bad team. Who cares? But in reality, if the Lakers are going to try to make a pitch, the Clippers are going to try to make a pitch. The Celtics will try to make a pitch. The Sixers will try to make a pitch. You will get teams bidding against each other. And as much as Kawhi is in the last, year of his deal where he can't opt out. This coming year, he's under contract. The following year, he can opt out. But you can get teams to bid against each other to get the best possible deal. And then there's still the matter of $219 million. The Spurs are not going to panic move on this. They're too smart for that. They're not going to panic move on this. They're going to wait him out. They're going to grind him down. They're going to keep putting that 219 in his face because he can't get that anywhere else. And they're going to try to wind him down and back him off his stance and get him to stay in San Antonio. He's not getting traded tomorrow. Even though, you know, the media wants you to think, oh, he's going to get traded. They have to trade him. They got to trade him here. They trade him to later. No, they don't. They do not have to trade him. Certainly don't have to trade him right now. It's a long way between now and opening night. Yeah, 4.5 months between now and opening night, and a lot can happen. And you know what? If they get to opening night and they don't get the trade offer that they want, well, then we'll just wait until we do. Because we could go all the way to the deadline to get what we want. So if you want them this year, if you want to compete for that title and get them this year, well, you're going to have to pony up a little something. By the way, if you're in, you know, here in town, you saw on Twitter, like the big thing to do today on Twitter was to fake tweet that you saw LeBron somewhere, or that LeBron's kid was enrolling in a school here, or like that was the thing today. Everybody wanted to have these fake LeBron tweets around the city, and a lot of people probably saw that and were like, oh, wow, look, LeBron. And they got, like, probably got all excited. And if you know someone who did that, you get a hall pass today if you want to punch them in the face. Going to give you a hall pass on that. Especially if they're friend, if they're like your friend or something, because you know they deserve it. Make them drink bad beer. You know, give them the chicken wings that are like nuclear spicy, so their face melts off. And then they spend the rest of the weekend hiding in the bathroom. These things are perfectly fine. None of that is, I mean, some people think it's funny. It's just lame. Oh, I saw LeBron hit. No, you didn't. Shut up. And while a lot of the media still wants to point to the Lakers, oh, the Lakers are going to get LeBron. The Lakers are going to get LeBron. I know the Lakers are the favorite to get LeBron because they've got the money to just sign him outright. And I know the Rockets are number two. And we keep hearing, oh, but, you know, where's this kid going to be? And what's his wife going to say? LeBron says he wants to win championships. The team that is most ready to win a championship is in Houston. LeBron said he wants ownership commitment. Well, the Rockets are owned by a billionaire who doesn't care about writing checks. So then it becomes, does LeBron want to play with a bunch of kids, or does he want to play with his buddy Chris Paul and want to play with James Harden? Because everything in LeBron's past says he'd prefer to play with vets, particularly guys he knows, as opposed to a bunch of young kids. Does LeBron want to go to a team in Philadelphia where they don't really have a GM right now? Does LeBron want to go to a team in L.A., where his head coach is going to be a couple of years older than he is, and one of his teammates has a father who says a whole bunch of outrageous, wild, insane things? Or does he want to go to a team that has a head coach that he knows, that he respects, that he worked with on the Olympic team? Everything basketball related, when you pair it up with LeBron's career, his history, his own words, says the Rockets. I know that's not the popular take in national media, but that's because the national media wants to sell their soul to the Lakers. I don't. I want to actually be reasonable. I want to be logical. I want to have a semblance of common sense here. it's certainly in the Cavaliers' best interest to make a trade versus lose him for nothing, because they can acquire assets to help their rebuild. So from a winning perspective, Rockets. From a coaching perspective, Rockets. From an ownership perspective, Rockets. From the Cavaliers' perspective of how do they get something out of it, Rockets. I don't feel like I'm throwing darts in the dark here. And I know it's hard for people like, oh, come on, it's Houston. You know something's going to go wrong. Well, you haven't learned your Astros lesson yet. Everything doesn't always have to go wrong. This idea that, oh, well, he can't come here. Oh, but somebody, some reporter from Akron said that she heard him say that he doesn't like Houston. I've never heard LeBron say he doesn't like Houston. I have heard LeBron say championship mode. I have heard LeBron say he wants to win titles and that he's not done competing for titles. I've heard LeBron say he wants to take down Golden State. Hearsay, straight from the horse's mouth. I know what one I want to go with. It's time for, you know, a little bit of common sense. Let's peel the onion back a little bit and start using our brains and think about how this is going to go. Because blind speculation and just send the world to the Lakers might sound nice, but it's pretty much only happening in NBA 2K. Late hits.
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so I'm looking at a screenshot from what appears to be the Pratt Tribune, which I guess is a newspaper in Kansas. And it's got a picture of Amelia Benjamin, who is 2018 Miss Kansas Outstanding Teen. And the headline says, Miss Kansas Outstanding Teen, definitely doable. It's look, I'm not lying. They actually printed that. They're all going to hell. They put that over a teenage girl. Definitely doable. Stay classy. All right, speaking of, you know, I need a little break here from all the LeBron and the Kawhi for a minute. Need a little break here. Although there was an epic troll tweet that I got that Grayson had forwarded to me. And it says, It's a ESPN trade machine, and it's Ryan Anderson for Kawhi Leonard, and it says, this trade is successful. And then you know in the bottom how it gives you the analysis of, you know, plus or minus number of wins? It shows the Rockets getting Kawhi Leonard. Analysis, minus 2 wins. Because Kawhi didn't play. Analysis. Minus 2 wins. That is great trolling. I love the trolling. And yeah, it's about as realistic as Lonzo and Dang. Yeah, it is. I just think that it's funny. I think it's funny that it says the Spurs record won't change, but the Rockets would get two fewer wins. All right, so Sunday is Father's Day. Jose, what is Father's Day going to be like in the Partita household?
Watching soccer.
What teams are you following?
Mexico plays their first game that day, so.
Oh, so your eyes are all in on Mexico, right?
Oh, absolutely. They play at 10 o'clock, and then Brazil plays their game at 1.
You have your green shirts and everything?
Yeah, of course.
You paint your faces?
No, we don't paint our faces, but yeah.
I went to, I guess, like an international friendly game at NRG a couple of years ago. Mexico played. I don't remember who they played, but they wore all blue jerseys. You probably know. Blue like jerseys, white trim.
It could be any country, but I'm trying to remember their last couple of friendlies here.
Well, it would have been, it was like a Central American team.
Could have been Honduras, could have been El Salvador, because they both have jerseys like that.
Yeah. And NRG was jam-packed, like 90% Mexico. Everybody was there wearing the green soccer jerseys, with the white and the red trim. I actually ran into a girl I used to work with, and she's decked out in the full uniform, hair dyed. She's got the Mexican flags like on her face. I mean, she was all decked out for it. And it was crazy. Like, I'm not even exaggerating when I tell you that the crowd from Mexico soccer was probably louder than any Texans crowd that I've been to, and I've covered the team for 5 years. And that crowd from Mexico, every time they scored, forget, you know, like, oh, it's like as loud as a jet. You were literally standing inside the engine. It was so loud.
Yeah, that's why they do all these tours. It's the only country in the world that has two homes, pretty much.
Dude, it was insane. I saw a Mexican League game at BBVA Compass, and it was two teams that, I mean, like, I couldn't even tell you the names of the teams. But I took the kids, and they have, like, bands.
Yep, las bandas. They're awesome.
Like, in each end zone. There's band, and they play nonstop.
Yeah. You should see, like, some crowds, like the ones in Monterrey for both Club Tigres and Monterrey.
Tigres was one of the teams.
Yeah. Those have notoriously two of the best, if not the best, bands in Mexico.
Tigres was one of the teams. They had the majority of the fans in the building.
It's insane how those fans travel.
They had the majority of the fans, and they had a band that was probably playing an hour before kickoff, and then all through the first half, and then, you know, for halftime they stop. I guess they go and, like, that's like potty break or
get some food
or whatnot. And then about 2 minutes before the start of the second half, they start up again.
Put the red rowdies to shame.
And they play the whole time. Like, you'd think with all that drum banging and horn blowing and the singing and chanting, like, don't they take a breath? Like, I was impressed with the endurance to be able to just keep playing those instruments and yelling and screaming and cheering and singing and chanting. It never ended. My kids thought it was great, by the way.
Like, are your kids fans of soccer?
My daughter plays soccer. Love soccer. My son is kind of into it. He got a bad taste in his mouth from soccer because
U.S. didn't qualify to the World Cup?
No, the team that he used to play on, they lost their coach, and they lost like half the kids on the team. So they went from being a pretty good team to they only had like 8 kids. And then they couldn't get more, but they wouldn't do like a dispersal and move them around to all the other teams. So what would happen is, like, every game they wouldn't have enough kids. You'd have to take another a kid from the other team and put it. Just it was horrible, and he had a really bad experience, and he just lost interest. My son is really more into individual stuff. He's into martial arts. He's into rifling. He's into archery. He's into rock climbing. He's starting to get into rappelling. They did that the last time that they were at camp. They were rappelling down this mountain, which he thought was awesome. So now he's into that. And, you know, he's big into scouts, which is where he does all this stuff. And now he's starting to get into, like, outdoor cooking and stuff like that. But everything he does is, like, individual stuff. You know, my daughter is the one who's really into soccer. She likes soccer. She likes hockey. She likes baseball. You know, that's the kind of stuff like she's into. And of course, they're both insane about video games. I just got her a game, something called Fire Emblem. Are you familiar with this?
I am not, no.
I don't know. It's some game for the Switch, but she loves it. So she got her game. She was happy. So you guys are going to be watching soccer. What's going to be on the menu?
I don't know yet. That's not up to me.
Are you guys going to be like cooking inside? You cook outside?
Probably outside.
Cater? I mean.
Yeah, probably outside. No, definitely cater. No. God, no.
No catering? No. You don't get like the big
Mexicans don't order up
some sandwiches or fried chicken or anything like that. You don't order anything in. Everything is homemade.
Oh, no. Well, that's different. I thought you meant like a big, like giant catering thing. No. Well, I don't know yet.
That all depends. How many people are you having?
Not that many. It's usually something small. Maybe like 10 people.
Yeah. So like, if you were having like 25 people, maybe you cater because that's a lot of people to cook for. But if you're going to have like six of you, then you just open the grill and fire it up. What are the choices du jour when you guys fire up the grill? What is it that you're cooking?
It's typically like fajita or steak. Rarely do we do like burgers and hot dogs.
It's like chicken fajitas, steaks.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Shrimps, no, yes.
No.
No, no shrimp?
No, sausage.
Scallops?
Nope.
No? Seafood is just not?
No, not really. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I'm going to be on the National Network 12 to 5.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm going to be working. So we're pretty much going to do Father's Day tomorrow. And I have plenty of steaks. Got some shrimp. I got some scallops. I'm debating if I'm going to pick up lobster tails, but I'm probably not going to do it because I really just want shrimp and scallops. So steak, shrimp, and scallops is going to be what hits my grill tomorrow. And that's going to be when we do Father's Day. I'm also going to take the kids to Dave and Buster's. And they want me to take them to the movies. Maybe we'll hit the water park some point. Maybe really early, really
day.
Late. It's a long day, but it's like my one day off, so I want to do stuff. Especially since I'm working Sunday, and then I got an early flight on Monday. I want to do stuff while I have the time. So we'll take your calls on what's on the grill for Father's Day, as well as on the Rockets. Coming up next, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listen to the line. This is Late Hits.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.